You're listening to local and regional news on KMUN 91.9 FM. I'm Skylar Butenchin. Oregon Governor Tina Kotek now says she wants to repeal a transportation funding bill she pushed through the state legislature last year. As Dirk Vanderhart reports, the reversal comes after key tax increases in the bill were delayed.
House Bill 3991 passed in late September after a month-long special session plagued by delays. The bill was considered a stopgap. Majority Democrats had failed to pass a comprehensive road funding bill in the 2025 regular session. HB 3991 avoided layoffs and service cuts with hikes to the state's gas tax and vehicle registration and titling fees. But those were blocked by Republicans, who collected enough signatures to force a vote on the new taxes this November. With money not coming in as planned, Kotek says she now wants to scrap the entire bill. The governor says she'll push to do so in the legislative session that begins February 2nd. She'll also look to avoid layoffs and fund road maintenance by redirecting money in the state's transportation budget. That's a concept long advocated by legislative Republicans. I'm Dirk Vanderhart, reporting.
As red and now blue states around the country try to redraw their congressional maps, why isn't Washington? KUOW's Scott Greenstone has more on a new proposal from Democrats.
To change the state constitution and redraw congressional maps sooner than 5 years from now, you'd need two-thirds of state legislators to put the change to a vote of the people. Joe Fitzgibbon, the Democrats' majority leader in the House, submitted a resolution to do that this week.
Yeah, it's not going to pass.
Instead, it's to start the conversation. If Democrats win a two-thirds majority in the legislature this fall, they could ask voters to let them redraw the districts to offset states like Texas, which are gerrymandering their maps to further favor Republicans.
You know, that they'll stop at nothing, and states that, you know, have the ability to fight back are fighting back, as, you know, California and potentially Virginia.
Washington's two Republican congressmen did not immediately respond to a request for comment. I'm Scott Greenstone in Seattle.
Trump administration policies continue to negatively impact Canadian tourism into Washington state. That's the conclusion from Western Washington University's Border Policy Research Institute. They found about a 35 to 40% drop in the number of Canadians crossing into the United States via Whatcom County. Lori Troutman directs the institute and led the study that looked at data between January and November. She told the Bellingham City Council that politics is squarely behind the decline in Canadian tourism.
What we're facing now is really about a breach of trust between two nations that were friends and the anger that's associated with that breach of trust, and also about fear that is unlikely to sort of abate anytime soon.
Shortly after President Trump took office, he made remarks about making Canada America's 51st state. Also, there are new requirements for some who live in Canada, but who are citizens of other countries. They need to receive special screening at the border. Oregon's unemployment rate was flat in November, staying at 5.2%. KLCC's Zach Ziegler reports.
Oregon added 1,600 jobs total between September and November. October's data is missing due to the federal government shutdown. State employment economist Gail Krumenauer says growth is largely concentrated in healthcare, which can cause problems for job seekers.
If all the gains are highly concentrated in one other sector of the economy, and it's a sector that's actually more likely to require some sort of education or credential to hold a job in that industry, it may not be like a really quick or easy transition to be finding your next employment opportunity.
She says two bright spots in the new data are growth in the construction and leisure and hospitality sectors, which were both adding jobs after recent contractions. I'm Zach Ziegler reporting.
Oregon's Higher Education Coordinating Commission is recommending some controversial changes to how the state's public universities operate. Commissioners approved recommendations this week, like possible university mergers and degree program audits. Ben Cannon directs the agency. He said the proposals are meant to help universities cut costs amid an uncertain financial time.
The failure to go down that path means that we are likely to experience very, very difficult budget cuts that have negative impacts on students and communities.
University leaders largely opposed the most sweeping recommendations. Instead, they said state lawmakers should focus on adequately funding higher education to prevent steep tuition hikes and budget cuts.
This is KMUN. I'm Katie Frankowitz. Two candidates are vying for an open seat on the Seaside City Council. Former city councilor David Pozalski announced his resignation in November because he was going to be moving outside of city limits and would no longer be eligible to serve on the council. His resignation was effective December 20th. At a candidates' forum Wednesday night, Patrick Ansborough and Brandon Kraft both touted their past and current work experience and connections with the Seaside community for why they should be chosen to take over the Ward 4 seat. Kraft oversees four coastal hotels as a regional manager for Lincoln Asset Management. He is serving his second term on the Seaside Planning Commission and says he has come to see cities as a sort of larger version of the hotels he manages.
The building is the city limits. Each room is a resident or a business. You have to deal with infrastructure, so you have your, you know, keeping your city clean, which in hotels, that's very paramount to getting people to want to stay and to come back. It's also listening to resident or guest complaints and being able to mitigate them, solve them, and a lot of the majority of the time, it's just to make sure that you sit there, you listen, and you want to let them feel that they've been heard, that you actually do hear them.
Ansborough serves on the commission for the Bob Chisholm Community Center. He's a U.S. Navy veteran and a hypnotherapist and Reiki practitioner. Among his concerns if appointed, he listed livability and housing availability, emergency and tsunami preparedness, infrastructure needs, and tourism that, quote, supports the community without overwhelming it.
What I've learned is that consensus starts with listening, not persuading. I focus on slowing the conversation down, clarifying the actual problem, and identifying what our shared goals are. Once people feel heard, it becomes much easier to move from positions to solutions.
The Seaside City Council plans to interview both men at a meeting on Monday and will select a new Ward 4 representative then. Whoever is appointed will serve through the end of 2026. In November, the Ward 4 seat will be up for election, and any qualified candidate will be able to run for a regular four-year term that would start in 2027. I'm Katie Frankowitz, reporting for KMUN.
Police have arrested a man in connection with an explosive device discovered at a public restroom on Oregon's North Coast last September. Oregon State Police arrested 52-year-old James Mason Liggett in Grants Pass on Sunday. Liggett was wanted on charges of attempted murder, attempted assault in the first and second degree, first-degree arson, and possession and manufacture of a destructive device. On September 16th, a woman and her 2-year-old child saw a backpack tied to the restroom door at the Sunset Beach Recreation Site near Warrenton. She reported the backpack to a park ranger who alerted police. A bomb squad was dispatched and defused an explosive device found inside the backpack. There were no injuries associated with the incident. The Siyusula National Forest is implementing a new ticket reservation system at a popular recreation area in Tillamook County for this year's 4th of July holiday. It's part of an effort to manage high visitor numbers and congestion at Sand Lake Recreation Area, 15 miles southwest of the city of Tillamook, after record-breaking crowds created traffic and safety challenges last year. Visitors will have two options to visit Sand Lake during the 4th of July weekend. They can make camping reservations at a developed campground or purchase a vehicle ticket. Camping reservations can be made online 6 months in advance, beginning from the date of arrival. Reservations for July become available this month. Vehicle tickets will be available for purchase in May. The $5 daily tickets are issued for established parking lots and for dispersed use on the sand. No entry to Sand Lake Recreation Area will be permitted without camping reservations or a vehicle ticket, and no tickets will be sold on site. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Tillamook Headlight Herald, online at tillamookheadlightherald.com. Oregon regulators say a railroad company is responsible for a train derailment almost a year ago in Corvallis. OPB's April Ehrlich has this report.
Portland and Western Railroad faces a state fine of almost $82,000. In January 2025, a trestle bridge owned by the company collapsed, sending rail cars carrying urea into a river below. Urea is widely used in fertilizers. It can damage river ecosystems by causing algal blooms and depleting oxygen. It can also break down into toxic ammonia. All of that can harm fish and wildlife. In addition to the fine, the Oregon Department of Environmental Quality has ordered Portland and Western to submit a report about its other trestle bridges and how it keeps up on repairs. The company has appealed the penalty and says the bridge collapse was caused by flooding. Portland and Western staff didn't respond to a request for comment. I'm April Ehrlich, reporting.
A Bend organizer wants City Manager Eric King removed from his job, as the resignation of the city's equity director continues to ripple through the community. Catherine Steyer-Martinez reports.
3.5 months ago, Andres Portela III resigned from his job leading Bend's equity department, saying he experienced racial bias on the job. An independent investigator recently said those claims of racial bias in the city weren't credible. However, community organizers critiqued the investigation and said it wrongly attempted to discredit him. Like Portela, Jocelyn Stanfield is Black. She says the fallout from Portela's departure affected her, so she started a petition that calls for the city manager's removal.
I think that what he did with Andres is just, I don't even know if there's a word for like professionally unforgivable.
As of Wednesday morning, the petition calling for King's removal had over 200 signatures, but for Stanfield, the number isn't the point. She called it one chess move with more to come. Catherine Steyer-Martinez reporting.
Eugene Police have partnered with a company to bring more homeless outreach services to downtown. KLCC's Nathan Wilk reports.
A new pilot program will station two peer navigators in downtown during the day on weekdays. Josh Lair with Ideal Option says its navigators will tackle non-criminal issues, such as helping vulnerable people locate social services and treatment options. He says the navigators all have lived experience in the criminal justice system, which will help them build rapport with clients.
What we're trying to do is eliminate the call to service for law enforcement. They don't need to have to respond to every single complaint that goes on downtown.
Eugene Police Chief Chris Skinner says he hopes the program improves the community's sense of safety downtown. The effort is backed by $250,000 from Eugene's community safety payroll tax. This is Nathan Wilk reporting.
Washington state officials have issued a correction after exaggerating the benefits of state spending to curb climate change. Proceeds from state auctions of carbon dioxide are not keeping as much pollution out of the air as officials have been claiming. KUOW's John Ryan reports.
Washington has been auctioning off the right to emit large amounts of climate-harming gases for 2 years now. Proceeds go to fight climate change or help communities hard hit by pollution. In November, a state report said auction proceeds so far would prevent over 8 million tons of pollution. That claim was nearly 30 times higher than the reality due to a data entry error. The conservative Washington Policy Center caught the error, and the Commerce Department acknowledged it on Tuesday. The conservative group says it shows the state's climate programs are ineffective. Republican legislators and Democratic Governor Bob Ferguson have set their eyes on that deep pool of auction cash. They're proposing to spend much of it on non-climate purposes, including lowering tax bills and utility bills. I'm John Ryan reporting.
Washington is set to receive $181 million in federal funding this year to boost healthcare in rural communities. The funding is coming from the Rural Health Transformation Program, which Congress created to help make up for the heavy cuts to Medicaid that are expected to disproportionately hurt rural healthcare providers. Advocates say the funding sent out to all 50 states won't fill the gap Republicans created last year with their so-called Big Beautiful Bill. The bill reduced Medicaid spending to help offset the expense of lowering taxes. But Washington Governor Bob Ferguson says the funds will help fortify the state's rural communities against what's to come. Under the program, Democratic-led states received less overall than those run by Republicans. The money each state receives will be recalculated each year. For Washington, if the award stays the same over the next 5 years, the state would receive a total of $906 million. This story comes to us through a news partnership with the Chinook Observer, online at chinookobserver.com. A new study from the University of Washington finds that teenagers use their cell phones for more than an hour while at school. This report builds on other research that has raised concerns over how smartphones affect students' educational development. KNKX reporter Mitch Borden has more.
Researchers had teens across the country install an app on their phones that tracked when and how they used them. The study monitored over 600 students between the ages of 13 to 18 over two school years. On average, students used their phones for around an hour and 10 minutes while on campus, mostly to access social media. UW's Dr. Dimitri Christakis says whether a student was using their phone during gym class, calculus, or lunch, it's a problem.
The time in school is precious because it gives opportunities, obviously, in the classroom to engage with the material at hand. And if it's outside of class, it's an opportunity to be physically and authentically present with your peers.
Christakis says the study's findings suggest that cell phone use should be restricted at schools and that these policies need to be enforced effectively. I'm Mitch Borden reporting.
Washington wildlife officials say they've learned about a possible new case of the fatal chronic wasting disease. Veterinarian Kristen Mansfield from the State Department of Fish and Wildlife says the case involves a mule deer shot in Ferry County in October. A private company tested a sample of its muscle and the result came back positive. This type of muscle test for chronic wasting disease isn't formally approved. WSU then performed an approved brain test and that one came back negative. If confirmed, Mansfield says this would be Eastern Washington's eighth case of chronic wasting disease. The first was reported in Spokane County in 2024.
We're still learning the geographical extent and prevalence of this disease in Washington. So if this is a true positive, it will represent a significant extension of the currently known range of this disease in the state, as well as would be our first case in a mule deer.
Mansfield says chronic wasting disease passes easily between deer, elk, and moose, but it has not yet spread to cows or people. You're listening to KMUN News.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. As a solution to declining voter registration rates, 24 states in the District of Columbia implemented automatic voter registration, also known as AVR or motor voter. Mistakes, including the registration of non-citizens, have occurred, but it's also resulted in helping millions more Americans register to vote. AVR allows an eligible citizen to show citizenship, age, and residence documents and register to vote while at the DMV in addition to local election offices. Texas is investigating 2,700 non-citizens on its voter registration lists, including some who may have been accidentally added at the state's Department of Safety. But an average of 100,000 Texans each month out of 18 million registered voters uses the DMV to register or update voter registrations. Beginning in 2024, Oregon found its DMV had registered 1,700 non-citizens to vote due to systems and training deficiencies, but only 9 of those non-citizens voted and the state took immediate corrective action. From 2016 to 2024, Oregon's law has registered almost 767,000 of its 3 million voters through AVR and raised its number of registered voters by almost 20%. While Oregon and other states are considering more changes, studies show where AVR is implemented, voter registration improves. Find the studies at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org.